As you drive up and down Morell Street, passing Queen School, perhaps you've noticed the pedestal that stands there that has the Blessed Mother on top of it. And if you read on the pedestal, you'll see that that statue was erected there in honor of Our Lady in 1950. Some of you remember 1950, Pope Pius XII declared a year of Jubilee. It was a Marian holy year. And during that holy year, that was when, as the Bishop of Rome, he defined the doctrine of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary and instituted this as a universal feast for the Church. So even though that happened only in 1950, let it not suggest that that is when the Church started celebrating the Assumption of Mary. It was simply an official proclamation and definition of something that's been believed about the Blessed Mother since the end of her life on earth and the beginning of her life on heaven, stretching back through 20 Christian centuries. Many people who are Christian criticize the Catholic Church's emphasis on the Blessed Mother, the fact that we have 16 different days on the calendar in the church year set aside to honor her for various things. But none of those feasts individually or all of them put together make Mary a goddess. She is the Mother of God, the Mother of Jesus, and the Mother of the Church, but never a goddess. We do not worship her, but we are called upon by the Church to imitate her. Mary is called the model of the Church, and with good reason, because of her total trust in God, her total devotion to God's Son, and the holiness and humility with which she fulfilled God's plan for her. That plan was introduced to her just before the gospel passage we hear today, when she was visited in the grotto at Nazareth when she was only 14 years old. At 14, we don't entrust people at that age with very much. Maybe we let them stay home alone, and only for a short period of time. But could you imagine telling your child at 14 that you're going to let them change human history forever and for everyone? Well, God knew that Mary would be able to handle this task because he had planned for this from before the moment of her conception. That's why she was immaculately conceived, but that's not when God started that plan. The plan that Mary would one day be the mother of Jesus actually began as soon as Adam and Eve were swallowing that bitter fruit in the Garden of Eden. And that's why the church often refers to Jesus as the new Adam and Mary as the new Eve, because where sin began at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, sin would be conquered forever on the tree of the cross. And where Adam and Eve were so disobedient to God's plan, this new Adam born of the new Eve, well, they would right all those wrongs and declare Christ's great victory over death, mentioned so eloquently in the first and second reading today from Revelation and from Corinthians. And so Mary has her role to play, but it is all God's plan in his glory that is accomplished through her and through her Son. The fathers of the church have always believed that Mary was conceived without sin, that she was ever virgin, never sinned in this life. And since as she never sinned, she should never be subject to the consequences of sin. St. Paul said to the Romans that the wages of sin is death. If Mary never sinned, then why should she die? And that is why the church fathers call the end of her life on earth the dormition, from the Latin to fall asleep. She went to sleep on earth and she woke up as the queen of heaven and earth reigning from above. And this is where we seek to imitate she who was sinless, in hopes that by her example and through her intercession, we might be helped on our way to salvation. We might be helped to sin less in trying to trust in God as she did, to be as devoted to her Son as she was, and to do all of it with holiness and with humility. And so Mary was not the first. It says that Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection, but not the only one. Mary was the fourth person to go body and soul into heaven. It started with Enoch in the book of Genesis, Elijah in the first book of Kings, then Jesus at his ascension, and finally the Blessed Mother. All of them now together in the communion of saints, and we hope one day to join them there. And so, as we see Mary, who once walked the earth, now walking amidst the clouds of heaven, surrounded by angels, we look forward to that day when God will call us home. And the way we get from here to there is to live our life on earth as Mary did. And so I think on a day like today, we would do well to follow Mary's advice. The last time she spoke in the Gospels, when she said at Cana, with reference to her son, do whatever he tells you.